You're listening to The Broker's Terminal, a Mass Effect podcast. Lexi? Happy...
Hello.
Yes, hello, whatever. Happy one full year. I'm doing a hand motion that nobody can hear. Or see. Oh my god. One full year of Broker's Terminal. Yeah, so...
birthday of... Borker's Terminal.
Of our love child.
Yeah. We have a toddler now.
Oh, God. That hits close to home.
I know. Yeah. It's crazy. It's been a year.
It has been.
Since we decided to do this.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I know that this year has been a little bit slower than the second half of last year, but you know what? We're still here.
We're still here.
As Elton John once said, I'm still standing. Don't DMCA us, please. Cool. Well, listen, we have a cutesy little episode for you guys. But before we get into talking about our first year, we're going to start this episode off with three, quote, mini games, unquote, that we like to play. We're going to save the best for last, which is absolutely 2-minute defense. So you guys are so lucky. 2-minute defense is back for this episode. We're gonna start with a Mass Effect minute, and Lexi's gonna kick us off with the Mass Effect minute.
Lots to talk about here. So the first big thing came about at the beginning of July, where the writer behind Deus Ex has now joined BioWare. Her name is Mary DeMarle. She led the narrative on the modern Deus Ex games and the Guardians of the Galaxy game. So she spent more than a decade at Eidos Montreal, building the Deus Ex universe that the fans know today. And so she was in charge of all the narrative and the writing and all the titles. And also, again, created the story and led the writing team for the 2021 Guardians of the Galaxy, which, as you may remember, won the Game Award for Best Narrative. So this is kind of exciting because, you know, they had a lot of departures from BioWare. They were looking to hire people, and now they seem to have acquired this excellent writer here. So that's some possible good things to come, knowing her writing strengths. I've never played a Deus Ex game, but I've heard good things.
Yeah, I have too. And, you know, despite the fact that you and I are pro Andromeda people, we know Mass Effect needs a big old W. So if she's going to help Mass Effect achieve that, then sure. Yeah, welcome.
Yeah, welcome.
Thanks. Thank you. Sit down, have a beer.
And get writing.
Yeah, let's get going.
And second thing on the Mass Effect Minute is that there is, in fact, a Mass Effect ride called Mass Effect New Earth at Great America in California. And it is, quote, amazing, and the theme park is going to be torn down in the near future. So if you're in California, you should check it out. There's a tweet out there that someone who posted about it. It is a 4D holographic journey where you sit in a theater and it takes you through it. Looks like they're wearing some sort of VR or 3 or 4D goggles, whatever. And it looks pretty wicked. So if you're one of the fortunate souls who lives close enough to go to it, you should go to it.
Absolutely. I saw that and was really upset that I live across the country from California.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. So I don't know if I'll ever get there, but it would be super dope.
Enjoy it. And if you do go, comment on YouTube, let us know,
or if you've been there, hit us up on Twitter or YouTube, wherever you're watching this. I need to update the YouTube videos. I am so sorry, guys. Lexi's looking at me right now like, you didn't do that. Didn't we talk about that? I thought we were talking about that.
Good. And then really quickly, for those who are on Twitter and paying attention to EA and BioWare, there was that sort of meme tweet that went around that kind of created a big firestorm of feedback or being called out on it. So they made a tweet, EA made a tweet back on, just pulling it up, on June the 30th, where it said, they're a 10, but they only like playing single player games. And of course, as you can imagine, this brought up a lot of controversy, given that, you know, part of their group of studios like BioWare excels with their single player games. And so there's a great big long article here, but basically some believe that EA originally planned that tweet and used it as a marketing ploy to get people talking about them again. You know, there's that. And, you know, it's kind of interesting to see, are they trying to garner media attention? Are they just, whoever's running that Twitter is not smart? We just don't know.
I tend, when it comes to anything business related, even when people don't like something, I tend to be pretty devil's advocate-y about it. And I do think that this is probably a marketing ploy. Like, it's a huge company's Twitter account. This is like people with degrees in marketing running their social media. So it probably was. And you know what? I'm a filthy American capitalist. Like, yeah, I mean, I get it. Do what you got to do to make money for sure. You guys can quote me on that. It is what we are where we are in 2022.
Yeah, you know, and it's interesting, you know, and obviously we'll all be kept in suspense. I don't think we'll ever find out the true answer behind that, but you know, it's kind of playing into the narrative of big bad EA. You know, whether they take advantage of that or not remains to be seen. So that's kind of all I got for the Mass Effect minute that we've squirreled away in the last month.
I don't think we, I think we recorded before EA and originally The Sims put it, but I think each EA entity did mention that they did not support the Supreme Court's overturning of Roe v. Wade. So again, I'm a little bit cynical. I think they probably did that because they had to. But I do also think that most people, certainly in the United States, believe it or not, do not agree with the overturning of that, or at least don't understand the overturning of it. I'm not going to go into a political down spiral here, but it was good that they put it. I think most entities needed to put it and at least say that they stand with.
And they did say specifically that they're expanding their benefits for their American employees and their eligible dependents. And their aim is to, quote, provide the care, support, and services for the health and well-being of our people. So at least, you know, as an overall whole, they're showing a commitment to that, which is good for those who work for them. So at least there's that.
Absolutely. And I agree. I've seen other companies do that, and I thought that was really great. For sure. Yeah. Cool. And again, we will be moving on from that because this is not a political show. Cool. All right. So what's next? Okay. So we haven't debuted this next segment yet. Without making us sound like assholes, Lexi and I have a funny joke between us where sometimes just in life or on Discord, people ask questions that could be easily Googled. And her and I will DM each other and be like, that person probably could have Googled that. I will tell a small anecdote that one time there were patch notes for a game that Lexi and I like to play. And I asked a question like, what will this thing be doing? And Lexi was like, did you read the patch notes? Like the answer's in there. And I was like, I've never been more aroused and scared at the same time. So I was scared aroused in that moment. So we have implemented today on Google, I learned. And today on Google, I learned that I'm not calling out Gamerant. Yes, I am. Mass Effect 4 proves just how important Liara is. And I just want to remind Gamerant that Mass Effect 4 came out in 2017. It's called Mass Effect Andromeda. Okay. So what I learned today on Google is that people don't know shit and how to write articles about Mass Effect, the Mass Effect series. And then just also sidebar, we don't know if the next Mass Effect game really is about the trilogy. I know Liara is in it, but like it could also just be Mass Effect Andromeda 2, and you guys are all making yourself look like idiots calling it Mass Effect 4. Anyway, that's what I learned today on Google. Not really what we had in mind for what we learned today on Google, but I thought it was funny, and I wanted to make Lexi laugh.
Cool. Yeah, well, I'm not surprised at that one.
And last but not least, what you all have been waiting for, it's 2 minutes.
2 minutes, 2 minutes of fun.
I hope that was louder this time. I turned all of the audio up everywhere. If it wasn't, Momo, I'm so sorry, but I know that it sounds really great because I just heard it in my ears. Let me quickly, so that you all know what I'm doing, change. Oh, I changed the wrong audio setting, so that probably didn't do it. Be good at this. Mom brain. Okay, so we're going to do some two-minute defense. Liara is still on the board along some really good characters. And as you guys know, Lexi goes first. And if Lexi gets Liara, okay. I'm drinking beer, so no one knows what could happen in response to Lexi getting Liara, which I know me, so that's going to happen. Here we go. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm. As always.
Here we go. Ooh, I still could get her. You have a very good one, though. Probably okay. the next best one on this board. You have 2 minutes to talk about everyone's favorite sex toy, Edie.
Oh, God, Edie. Why'd you gotta say it like that? Okay, so Edie, if you didn't know, originally was the rogue VI on the moon in Mass Effect 1, and was then that same technology used by Cerberus and implemented on the Normandy SR-2. And at that time, she was just kind of a talking vagina. The lips look like a vagina. I can't unsee it. Anyway, and kind of guides you around the ship and provides to be really helpful when it comes to tackling the Reapers. And you kind of unshackle her and she really helps your suicide mission. And then by 3, because BioWare is horny for these gamer boys to feel attracted to their game, they decided to put her in the robot body of Eva Corre, who was once a Cerberus sleeper agent. And so now we have an unshackled AI in a physical body. And Joker gets a big heart on for her. But I don't ship them. I hate Joker Edie, for the record. But I think Edie is a really interesting character and brings in a lot of the arguments about AI sentience and what it means for artificial intelligence to be integrated with society. And I think in the themes of Mass Effect with synthesis destroy and how that your choices impact what happens in the future, I think it's really interesting to look at. Although I don't think they go quite as far in depth as they could have, say, in shows like Star Trek, where you have holographic people, holodeck and like the emergency medical hologram and who are gaining sentience and experience in life. But I think it's, interesting sort of springboard and how she experiences that and how you can shape her experiences as Shepard and influencing whether or not she should pursue a relationship with Jeff, which I say no. Also, I think Sam Edie is the better ship, but that's besides the point. I think all in all, Edie, and as for a character in game, like I don't really use her in my party. I just don't, use her that much, but I do think she has some interesting abilities. But all in all, I think overall there was a good chance to do that thinking about AI discussion and integration with life. But unfortunately, I don't think they had like many characters in depth. And I went over my 2 minutes, but it had to be said that it's think they just, like many characters, they didn't expand enough in Mass Effect 3 because they were on EA's shitty deadline.
Yeah, they were. But you did great.
Thank you.
I'm sorry that I presented her as a sex bot. It is a funny line.
It threw me off. It threw me off a little. Although I will say my favorite thing of Edie is in Mass Effect 2 when Joker makes a remark or whatever and she's like, I enjoy the sight of humans on their knees.
Yes.
And he like just looks at the camera and she's like, that is a joke.
And she says it in a way where she's like, that is a joke.
A joke.
Because he makes a joke and it's not funny.
Mm-hmm.
He's yes. like, no, let me teach you the ways. Okay. Liara is still on the board. Mm-hmm. I know who I'm going to get because of who I am. and when it
How
lands
many do
on
we have left?
4. I actually thought that we did one of these, but he's worth doing again. Mm-hmm. That's what she said. And so, if it lands on this person, then we'll do it again. Here we go.
Okay. All right.
You guys can't see me, but I'm like getting into the...
I'm
hoping for the best and expecting for the worst. I'm going to take a screenshot so that you guys know that I'm telling the truth. Everybody hold on. I'll post it. Oh, that's going to pop up. Sorry, everyone. You're going to have to see that on the... video. There we go. I got it. See everyone? Oh, that actually worked out. See? I got it. Weep. I'll copy it for Lexi too.
Oh, finally.
2 minutes to talk about Liara?
Oh man.
Here we go. Hold on. All right. Here we go. Liara Tassoni. What a gift to this world. Liara Tassoni, I've already told the story, but long story short, my brother got me to play Mass Effect because he said you can be gay and be with a cute blue alien named Liara, and I was like, neat. So I played Mass Effect, and while yes, I totally romance Liara, she was so much more than just a romance option, and she still is for many people. So let's talk about that. Liara Tassoni is basically this young lass who's 106, and she has spent a lot of her time alone because she is into archaeology and wants to figure out what the heck happened to the Protheans. She comes across Shepard, and she learns really that there's more to life than just digging into the past, and she focuses on the present and learns about herself, and she takes time to learn about the future and what her abilities can mean and what her friendship with Shepard can mean. And so in Mass Effect 2, when Shepard tragically gets blown up, spoilers, and yeeted into space, Liara doesn't just sit back and sob whether she romanced Shepard or not. She takes time to say, how can I use this to my advantage? How can I become better and do better for Shepard? And that's kind of her whole arc, right? Is like, how can I use the gifts? I hate kind of using that term, but how can I use the gifts that I have to make the galaxy a better place and save the galaxy from demise? And not even because like dying the way that the Reapers were going to destroy the galaxy sucks, but because like there's so much good in the galaxy that it just being blown to smithereens is a waste. And so, you know, to me, and I think to many, Liara is kind of this like beacon of happiness and love, not romance love, but just like love and what love is and what love can look like. And just doing the right thing and being kind for the right reasons. And I think Liara is just like a great character who, whether you choose to romance her or not, can become your best friend. And she totally did for me. So kudos to you, Liara. You will make Mass Effect 5 better and amazing, and just keep bringing the light. And I'm over 2 minutes, but I do just want to end this by saying, and I'm going to look this up just to make sure I'm right, but I'm pretty sure Liara is a Hebrew word. A Hebrew name, excuse me. And I'm going to read this directly from Google. What does the name Liara mean? Liara means light for me, light unto me, my light, or I have light, from Hebrew li, my or light. So I love you, Liara. Thank you for everything. You're so great. I'm not really crying, but it sounded like I was, but I promise I'm not. That's the end of my spiel.
Well done. I'm glad you actually got Liara.
I am,
because
too.
I feel like I'd be sitting here like,
Liara is an Asari. You don't sound like
Listen. We all know that I like the ship, Shiara. Y'all, you know, I'm in the server.
But are you?
It's not my top pick.
I was gonna say neither is she, but I think in both scenes she was on top.
I've only played it twice. Once when I first played Mass Effect way back when in 2012, and then now just with the Legendary Edition. But then my brain went, oh my god, they brought out the Bi Miranda mod, let's go. And my
and that's
brain
the end
is,
of that.
It's forgotten.
Liara who?
Liara who?
I totally get it. Totally
yeah.
Get it. Anyway, but, hey guys, I got Liara. End of the episode. That's it.
Well, close, but not quite. We still have a little bit to talk about.
Cool. So I figured now that we've done our shticks, our little mini games, Lexi, what are some of your highlights of the Broker's Terminal over the past year?
Oh man, so I definitely y'all are gonna know. I think my favorite episode that we recorded in the past year was our interview with Katie Townsend, followed by Danielle Brain. Sure. I think it's really great that we actually got to talk to those two. They're lovely, you know, actually getting a people who were a part of Mass Effect Andromeda, you know, to be on our podcast. Like, I think that was, you know, a peak. And also a shout out to our other guests too, Emily, Tanaya, and
Just forgot his name. Ash.
Sorry, Ash. I kept wanting to call him Matt. And I'm like, no, we didn't have Matt.
We didn't have
from Adventum.
But they're like kind of similar looking, so I understand.
Right. Yeah. Tanaya and Emily, they were both great. You know, as sort of our first guests. And I still need to catch up on Adventum. But hey, I'm going to have two big treks out to the East Coast and back, and me moving out there means that I'm going to have 18 hours in a car by myself. So I might just put on their podcast again. And remember where I left off. But I think that was, you know, honestly, just having the guests and getting to put ourselves out there. And also shout out to Ryan on Twitter for tagging us every Friday alongside Mark Friday
Mayer and Jennifer
and
Hale.
Jennifer Hale and, you know, all these other podcasts. You know, that tickles my heart and I appreciate it. And yeah, just, you know, getting ourselves out there and, you know, life happens. We slow down a bit, but I think we're going to be able to, yeah, you get pregnant, you get accepted into a PhD program, you move halfway across the country. You know, life happens, but I think, you know, we've got some good ideas, coming for you guys and we'll talk about that in a bit, but yeah, really, I'm just gonna say it, the Katie Townsend episode. Katie, come back. We'll have you for round two. And it may not even be talking about sous vide or Mass Effect at all, but hey,
the people will listen.
The people will listen.
Yeah. I think for me, similarly, just the guests have been amazing. I also need to get back into Adventum. I've been listening to a lot of Critical Role, so that's kind of taken over my life, which I think the cast of Adventum would be like, yeah, I get it. I really enjoyed talking to Emily and Tanaya for sure, just because I was so deep into Adventum for a long time there. It would be really awesome to get some of the other cast members.
For sure.
So maybe we'll work on that. And then just some of the other things is I've really just enjoyed some of the silliness that we've come up with, like 2-minute defenses is fun and just picking each other's brain. We're usually like, we're kind of boring, right? Because we're usually on the same side of stuff. But in the episodes where we've been on opposite ends of the spectrums about things, I that's always fun for me. And it's always really nice to be able to sit and talk about a game that you and I both love differently and the same. So I'm glad that you and I get to do that. And you know, it's kind of cheesy, and I'm a mom now, so everything's cheesy, but it was kind of fun to, like, see our podcast grow as I was going through my pregnancy. Like, it was kind of like a, I kind of relate it back to this. Most people would not know this. So the 1-year anniversary is the 17th, which is today when you guys are able to listen to this. And I found out I was pregnant 3 days later. So it really was kind of like two babies growing at once. One came out of me, and the other one was Lexi and I, our hard work and dedication, our love child.
Which is funny, again, if you think about it in hindsight, for that year, the fact that I knew that you were pregnant like literally like a week and a half after it happened, like, and had to sit on that for like 3 months until you officially announced it.
Because
I listen, you know now that I am the best secret keeper. I will
much better
not say a word.
I'm not a good secret keeper.
And then also I kind of knew your son's name, or at least his nickname, for a real early time. So yeah, it's crazy to think he'll be what?
Actually, he's 4 months today on the airing of this episode, believe it or not. So
4 months.
4 months on the 17th here. So
insane.
But yeah.
He's soon going to fit into that other set of other onesie.
I think he fits into it.
Now,
the one that's
already?
His wild one?
Oh my God, so he fits into both. Wow.
Yeah, they were
children
3 to 6
grow.
Months. I know, they grow.
Wow.
Like, he's bigger this week than he was last week.
Yeah, that's crazy. Another thing, throwback highlight, is you commissioning Kat to get our cover
thank
art.
You for that.
That is amazing.
And that's what's showing right now for those on YouTube. Yeah, good call. That was, I just kind of like thought to myself, like, who do I know who can draw Mass Effect the way that you and I would want it drawn? And she killed it. Well, thank you, Kat. Very, very awesome.
We appreciate you a lot.
Yeah, for sure.
And again, someone that I've known in the Mass Effect fandom for God knows how long.
Say Kat, I haven't read any of the Mass Effect novels, but I know that Lizelle is like mentioned in one of them. For those who don't know, that's Arya Taloq's daughter. And Kat roleplayed a phenomenal Lizelle. And Liara and Lizelle we had a nice relationship that we used to roleplay. And just kudos to Kat. You did a great job with her, if you're listening. And if you're not, she did a great job.
So,
we're going to give you guys a little bit of a sneak peek
for what we're. Yeah.
We didn't really talk about this first. So, Lexi, do you want to like. We have a guest coming up soon.
Mm-hmm. We do. We do have a guest.
They are a Twitch streamer who will often stream video games and give their professional insight on what's happening in the games. I don't want to give too much away because then you guys will immediately know who it is.
Mm-hmm.
But they are so great.
Keep an eye out for that one. That'll be coming out after this, probably.
Yeah, probably in August, just based on when we're recording and everything. Do you want to maybe give like little glimpses of topics that we have? Or do you want to keep those a secret?
Let me just pull those up. Where is the list?
It's in plans, I think.
Yeah. We talk a lot.
We do.
Oh, yes. Okay. So,
Oh, okay. Well, I saw one. I'm just going to say the one that I saw. We're going to do a little bit talk a little bit about Mass Effect's reign in the space opera
drama.
The space opera / drama
genre.
Genre.
Say
thank
that four
you.
Times fast.
No. I won't be. And then just and the reason we came up with that was for the Starfield reveal kind of made us think like, okay, this Mass Effect 5 game is extremely important for how the space, the space opera drama genre can be molded and affected. So we have that topic that we're going to do. Which topic do you want to give a heads up about?
Have we done the full Andromeda? Have we
I don't
done
believe
full
we have.
Oh,
believe
we could do that. Well, look forward to that because, you know, you guys know we both love Andromeda and maybe I will actually finish my playthrough. It was close. I know it was close. It's just life and everything got in the way. Talking about some good old character customization and representation because there's a lot of games coming that have some really awesome character creation that I think, you know, BioWare could take a lesson from. Some discussions about Mass Effect and other media.
That one we've had that on the list since day one we haven't done it, and I actually would really to.
Yeah, so we've got topics coming. There's so much to talk about.
And we have N7 Day 2.0 coming up sooner than later.
Where did this year go?
I gotta look at a calendar. Hold on, keep talking.
And you know, and still talking about some stuff in the games, like morality, the endings, all the kinds of stuff. So
don't go anywhere.
Don't fret. Don't go anywhere.
I know that Shepard should go, but you guys should not. I think to round it out, I'll start. Lexi can pick up if she'd like. We definitely want to extend our thank yous to our guests that we've had on. Because those episodes have just been out of control. Like the fact that we got to sit down with all of the guests that we've gotten to sit down with so far is, as we said before, just amazing. I never thought that I'd be having conversations, certainly with voice actors. Although I'm not gonna say it. Lapa's somewhere like she's gonna say it, and I'm not gonna say it. I'm not gonna say who I met at a convention. Okay, it's fine. but just to sit and do something like this with, voice actors and professionals from the games. I would have never thought that I'd be doing something like that. And then just to make connections with members of the community, certainly like Ash and I and Emily, has just been amazing. And then, of course, thank you to you guys who listen to us be best friends and talk about Mass Effect and enjoy us being silly and fangirling about the game. And then, you know, Lexi, thank you for doing this with me. And through just the mostly ups that we've experienced over the past year, like not even in reference to this, just in our life, but our lives. But I couldn't have done this without you, and I don't think I'd want to.
Yeah, no, absolutely. My first foremost is going to be you because we spent how many hours
I feel
playing
like a dick.
No. Let me finish.
I'm just kidding.
you know, how many hours were we playing Apex Legends together going, oh, talking about Mass Effect, and then, oh my God, we're getting shot. So, you know, I'm glad that we were able to take that and, like, make it into something productive, and I do want to thank you because you're the one who manages and makes the post them and everything. Sure. Like, that's, you know, I appreciate that. But yeah, I really do want to just extend my own thank yous again to our guests, Katie, Danielle, Ash, Emily, Tanaya, and our upcoming guests, and we are trying to get other guests. Unfortunately, some of the bigger casts are very busy people that unfortunately just don't have the time for us or haven't responded, and that's okay. Yeah. You know, life happens. Okay. But my thank yous to them. Thank you to all our listeners, because without you guys, we would probably still do it.
We probably would. Like,
it's nice to have people that listen to us babber on about all things Mass Effect. And, you know, and again, a big old thank you to EA and BioWare for creating this series that has brought so many of us together, our friendships, our podcasts, everything. You know, here's to the future of Mass Effect and hope that we all have a good old time.
Yeah. And, you know, just to add, and Lexi and I were talking about this in the way her and I talk about things before we started recording, but on a serious note, like, I've said this many times, the beauty of Mass Effect is that we all play differently. And I'm laughing because Lexi knows why I'm saying it, but that's the truth. We all play differently, and regardless of that, we're all here talking about it and enjoying it. So enjoy it however the heck you want. And I'm appreciative to the devs and the friends that I've made and the other nerds on the internet for giving us the space to do that. So
absolutely.
Yeah. Lexi?
Rachel.
Here's to another year.
Here's to another year.
If you liked this podcast, please rate, like, and comment on your platform of choice. To show further support, you can follow us on Twitch, Twitter, and subscribe to our channels on YouTube. Everything discussed today will be archived on the Broker's Terminal. After all the galaxy secrets are at the Shadow Broker's fingertips.